Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Under the Stained Glass, the podcast where we take a look at our lesson from church today and approach it again from a family angle. I'm here with Ms. Whitney.
Hi there.
And I do want to remind you, too, that you can join us for worship just by going down and looking at the link at the bottom of this podcast description. And of course, you're always welcome to do that with us.
Yep.
Well, today we had an exciting lesson. We were looking at Matthew chapter 26 and the episode where Jesus goes into the Garden of the Gethsemane. And there he prays two prayers. He prays, oh God, take this cup away from me, because he knows the full measure of what he's facing, the suffering that he's going to face. But at the same time, he prays, but your will be done. And he doesn't pray it like this is A choice and this is the B choice, or this is my first choice and this is my second choice.
Sure.
He prays them both with equal passion, knowing that God's will is going to be the best for him. So how can we, this is what we were thinking of this week, how can we help our kids understand how to pray honestly, number one, and expectantly, and be looking for what that answer is, whether it's the answer we have in mind or whether it's what God has for us.
Mm-hmm. Well, there really isn't a set way to pray. There can be this idea floated around religious circles that we must pray to God in a specific way in order for our prayers to be good enough to reach his ears. An example of this could be the five-finger prayer. And if you don't know what this is, it's a formula of praying, and there are different groups that are represented by the five fingers of a hand. Praying for others, praying for teachers, praying for leaders, praying for the weak, and then finally praying for yourself. The thumb is always the strongest and most important, and the pinky is always the weakest and the least important, which is where you end with yourself. And this is often taught as the right or most pleasing way to pray, but this just is not true. We can come to God in any fashion and about anything. We can get down to our true feelings with God, our hopes, our worries, our delights, and our sorrows.
Yeah, so probably the main thing is just to pray honestly, right? And just really be open with God. I think the Psalms are really a proof of that. They run the gamut of a psalm like Psalm 35, where David is saying, oh, contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me. Fight against those who fight against me. He's just asking God to be his champion, to take up his cause. Other prayers in the Psalms, the person's emotions are ranging from bitterness to regret to praise to appeals for God to rescue. Nothing is off limits in prayer, but, and I've heard this a lot too, is there a limit to the way that we address God when we pray?
Well, we need to understand that he is God, and obviously that carries a sense of weight to it. And when we address him as Lord or Father, we are setting the tone, our own understanding of who he is and how we approach him openly and honestly.
Yeah, that word Lord, it carries a meaning from the past that we don't use that much anymore. Of course, Lord in a human sense was that person who had your life in his hands, who could give you good things. But in the case of God, it's all of that. But also, our Lord has our best interest at heart. So Lord and even Father, when we address God that way, it says that we acknowledge that God is the one with the power, and in the case of God, our best interest at heart.
A part of honest prayer is to be honest about who God is and how we address him, because those terms really do matter. We don't want to necessarily approach God as dude or buddy in a way that we might address someone that is equal to us, because when we do use those terms with him, that brings him down to our level, and we are taking away that greatness, that sovereignty, and that power from God. This isn't like the five-fingered prayer, which is restricting in our conversation with God, but rather we want to bring him into perspective of who he truly is and what he can do.
So we don't want to say holy and awesome dude?
No, probably not.
Not that?
No.
Okay. Well, what about posture? Is it important to teach kids to pray on their knees with their eyes closed or open, with their hands folded or closed?
Well, this was actually something that I haven't thought about too much until we started discussing it earlier this week. And honestly, I would say that we want to teach kids that they can pray anywhere and anytime, and that the way in which we do so, the focus and intentionality of it with our eyes closed and our hands brought together, really brings us into a place where we are focused in on that time and that conversation with God and what we're doing there, which is really important important in understanding how we would approach him and how we would bring him into that setting or the reverence that we have to him as well.
Yeah, and this the whole idea that we can approach him is one mm-hmm. of the great lessons of the gospel, that because of Jesus, we have open access to God. Mm-hmm. But it is important, I think, also to have a set time, or one time at least in the day when we approach God on our knees mm-hmm. with our hands raised or folded. And it's not because God needs us to do that or that he'll hear us better or he won't hear mm-hmm. us if we don't do that, but because our posture communicates something to us. It communicates to us the truth of our relationship with God, that again, he is Lord and we are his people.
Yeah, and it's really wonderful that we have these ways in which we do things, the way we pray or address God or study his word, because they're all for our benefit. God doesn't need these things. He's God. He's going to remain being God regardless of what we do. That'll never change. But it always benefits us when we do them and understand our relationship with him and our access to such relationship and just really bring us into perspective of who he is and who we are.
Yeah. So once we establish that relationship with God, who is powerful sure. and is goodness and is love, through the use of his name and maybe through the posture that we assume, what comes next is up to us. I mean, in our supplication and our appeals, is there any limit then to what we can pray for?
There's nothing you can't pray for. Philippians 4:6 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. We can tell God what we need and we can bring our worries to him and are really commanded to do so, especially here in Philippians 4:6. God doesn't have a limited job description of what he can do. He is God over everything, and that includes anything we can pray. The bolder, the better. He is a big God with the power to meet all needs.
Yeah, and in this passage in Philippians 4:6, in verse 5, it begins by saying, the Lord is near. And I just think that's something that we got to remember too, yeah. that we can talk to him in any way we see fit. We can let our true feelings get out there, even if they're feelings of fear or regret or rage. Nothing is off limits. Mm-hmm. God is near. He can take it. And there's nothing he's never heard before. Mm-hmm. But once we've given vent then to those feelings and our desires, we've put out there our hopes, what then should our expectations be?
Well, we can really look to Jesus here as an example of how we should pray and what we should expect. I think we don't pay enough attention to, in Jesus's humanity, he did not want to go through with this colossal task set before him. He was scared and really asking God to take it from him. He wasn't ready, at least not at that moment. But here, he lays out his request. He caps it off with his expectation, yet your will be done and not mine.
Yeah, this whole episode is a really awesome gospel lesson for kids. And it's a reminder for us that in his divinity, he really did know the danger and the pain that was involved. But in his humanity, he experienced fear and dread, and that's okay for us too. Mm-hmm. He knew the perfect wisdom and the love of God would come through for him. In fact, God had competing loves and interests here too, didn't he?
Absolutely, he did. He had this immense love for his one and only son and his passionate leave the 99 for the one love for us. He had a decision to make to either grant Jesus's request or, as he's looking at this whole picture of the outcome of the upcoming events, to choose us over Jesus. And he ended up choosing us knowing that it would be of a greater benefit to his will for us and for the bigger picture of eternity. Mm.
So we really do want to teach our kids to trust that God really does see the bigger picture.
Sure.
And even when he doesn't answer our prayers the way that we might want him to, when the cup is not taken away, so to speak, his will is being done in a way that we might not understand, but that's within his perfect wisdom and love. I mean, this is just a great story to root in our kids' hearts, because it has so much to teach that can help us understand who Jesus is and tell us about our relationship with God.
Mm-hmm. Our verse for today is from Matthew 26, verse 39, and it says, he went on a little farther and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done and not mine. Jesus himself is finding that posture, that bold prayer with openness, and is leaving the outcome up to God. And remember that when Jesus gets his answer, he accepts it and he goes on about the work that he must do. And he's still human. He's still scared and aware of the pain, but he trusts that God can lead him to what is best and right, and we should do that as well.
Yeah. So even when we get on our knees or we stand or we lift our hands or we fold our hands in our prayers with our children, let's remember to just pray honestly, put it all out there, but then end it all up with, but Lord, your will be done, and just see how that pans out in our lives. So we thank you all for being here. Remember, again, you can worship with us on Sunday online. And until we meet again, see you later.
Bye.